test.
WHM monitoring.
Hey Bill, how you doing? N4DJC.
Hey.
That's kind of toasty outside, though.
According to the thermometer, it's 89 degrees right now here in Hartwell.
Sun beating down on the backside of the house right now, and it feels at least that hot or not hotter. Flaking off the house out of the yard. I don't have any trees in the backyard. With any shade, it feels like it's about 100.
Yeah, I understand that. Hey, I asked Gail about the new editor, and she said that it wasn't the best situation in the world.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense then. That's been something else going on, I guess. I was just wondering, because I always thought the other guy was good, but I don't know about the new one. I noticed they had a column in there last week from somebody. Gail didn't have a column, and had somebody else in there, so I didn't know what was going on. I was hoping she was still doing well enough to write the column. I felt sure she was, though.
She is, and I'm sure she'll get back at it. It's just, she said that you guys are a little different.
Yeah, you know, I know I was telling you this the other day, and I'm sure Gail agrees with me, you know, when Wasey, you know, was there, it was a whole different deal. And then when, I don't know whether it was her daughter-in-law or granddaughter that was still doing some of the social stuff there in the paper. I know she kind of dropped out maybe 5 or 6 months ago, maybe longer than that. And of course, Lynn always liked to read that part of the paper, too. And he kind of went to all, it seems like it's about all sports now.
Daughter-in-law, it was Terry's wife, Peggy, that did it for a while.
Thought it was, because I know Lynn used to talk to her. We'd go in there and get a pick of paper up there at the office, and also, you know, she would look up articles for us, and we had a couple of articles we were looking for from the past, and they found something from about 15 years ago we wanted, and she made a copy of it for us, and she was always real good about doing that sort of thing. She had a background, you know, kind of roots in Hart County, and it's always, I guess it's always difficult when you got people that are running stuff like that and don't have background in the county, don't know the history. They keep repeating the same. Yeah, it's just always something different, I guess, with publishers. But at least it seems like every time they change, the paper changes. Sometimes it changes for the better, and sometimes it didn't. But the other guy, I thought he did a good job with it personally, at least especially at the beginning. But like I said, I would have. People just decided to, you know, get out of it, or sports was changed, and, you know, whatever. But I remember one time the publisher was one of the guys that was, I want to say he was from Anderson here. He was, he might have been a sports guy for Independent or what he was now. I don't remember his name now to save my life, but he did a pretty good job. And when the other guy came in behind him, I really thought the paper would improve then. And we'll just have to wait and see how this thing turns out.
And you lose those local roots to the community, it changes, that's for sure. Our subscription expired, I think, last month, and we've been debating on whether to even take it back or not.
And renewed, because it's really the only contact we have, since we don't go over that that often, other than you and Jan and Gail, what's going on. And so, because none of our families, well, Bill's still there, but we don't keep in contact with Bill very much at all. But that's really the only contacts we kept it up. We just get ours online. It's like, gosh, I forget, there's a ton of money to get it over here in Anderson. If you're in the county, it's okay, but if you're out of state, even though you may be closer than some other people are. Plus, it comes about a week late, too, I think.
We had the online version. Georgia, and like I said, it was usually news about a week late anyway, but yeah, it's definitely changed, but we'll keep you updated on what's going on. There ain't a whole lot happening here in Hartwell. I don't know if you ever knew Rodney Ashworth. He passed away this week from cancer. He was 52. He's my age. And he was big in the sports and worked with the basketball team. And he used to run a potato chip route when he was working. And, but he's been fighting cancer or fought cancer for about 3 years, and it finally got the best of him.
I know him personally, but I know the name, that's a good bit younger than I am. Even, Lynn's younger sister, Lori, she's about 10 years younger than Lynn is, and anybody much younger than them, we don't really know, because we didn't have any contact. And of course, Lori's son played football at Great Atlanta Christian when they were playing Hart County every once in a while, and I think that was... I don't know if Brooks was had anything to do with the football team or not. But that's been a few years ago now. But I think Brooks' son was probably he was a good bit younger than her son was. He graduated. He's his third year medical residency right now. But we used to go to those games in Hart County. We go to a couple of other ones every once in a while too. It's a stadium. I was just amazed at how much money they spent on that thing. It looked like a little more like a college stadium than it did high school.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that really get into high school football and school. They really do it up. I tell you, I went by the Hart County High School here. Well, back in the early spring or late winter, and first time I've been really by there in a long time, and it's really changed in the last 10, 12 years since they built all that new additions and the art center and everything. It don't even look like the same place.
By there when we did go to Hartwell going on the way to Bunker. And we were both amazed. Lynn and I were both amazed at how much it changed, how much they built it up. And it's probably been close to 8 or 10 years since we've been to the stadium, been inside watch a game. Lori's son is, I think he's 29, man, so it was probably 10 or 11 years ago since we've been. We used to just go to Mother's house. We just park the cars there and walk to the stadium and walk down to the stadium from the house. It was impossible to get a parking place even back then, because they were playing a lot better then. Oh, well, they're playing good now, but they were playing real good then. That's when Devane was there, I think, and it was kind of funny. He was our neighbor up there. He lived in our subdivision up here for a while. And I used to talk to him every once in a while when I'd see him. He was always busy, in all coaching and so forth. But he was a nice guy. But hopefully Gail will get back in there and start digging at it again and get them to start printing some number of columns. So Lynn and I always enjoyed him.
He's a good coach. He seemed to be a good man. What times I run into him, he was always real nice, and he was a Clemson fan. And I remember when we used to work at Clemson, they had a Clemson tag on the front of the car, and we'd always chat about Clemson when he played there and so forth. But he seemed to always be a good fella. But, yeah, I hope Gail does get back in the right. She sure did enjoy that. And she's got the time to do it, and I think it's just It'll just take a little time, but I think she'll get back in there.
Because she's always, every time she touches on something, you see the vibe, people we remember and you know, places we remember. Of course, we knew just about everybody back in those years, and even now, you know, keeping up with them, we still keep up with the people, know kind of what's going on. But it's like I said, there's not a whole lot going on in the heart right now, I don't guess, but it's still nice to reminisce a little bit, and the people we knew, a lot of them are gone or passed away by now, but we're reading about the grandchildren, I guess, Bill.
Yes, this December, me and John will be married 30 years, and of course we don't have any kids, but over the years we've watched people grow up and move away, or grow up, get married, have their own kids, and it's amazing how quick time goes by.
Around twice in 10 or 15 years, and you know, I wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and wonder who that old man is staring back at you.
I tell a lot of people I keep my hair buzzed, and because it got so thin and bald, and I wonder sometimes whatever happened. I used to have a head full of hair, and now it's all gone.
Taking a bunch of pictures over the years. We got thousands of pictures, and people comment back 25 years ago and said, "Man, you got a lot of hair." I got some hair. Most of it's all gray now. I still got a fair amount, but I don't have enough where I don't need to wear a hat, Bill. But anyway, it's got thin and gray. But I said, "You just had a handful of hair." I said, "Yeah." I said, "It left." And what ain't left, it turned gray. But you just kind of wake up when I turned 70 in March, and I just got up that room. I said, "Man," I said, "we're all the years ago, but we've enjoyed it, but we always like looking back and old pictures and seeing people." We had Lynn out looking for stuff back in the 40s and 50s, you know, my mother and daddy, and a lot of other people. You know, when daddy worked at the post office, we still got a lot of those old photographs of post office, boys and the kids, and it's just enjoyable to see those things sometimes. But we always think times were better than me, and maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I don't know, but I remember enjoying it anyway.
Were better back 20 plus years ago. I tell you, it's a crazy world we live in right now. That's for sure.
Have some lunatics running the asylum, man. But we just have to make do, keep on going ahead. How you doing you got your hot spot up and running? I think you told me you finally got everything figured out on it. And I think Patrick was still working on his DMR deal. I don't know whether he got his up and running or not. I think he told me he did, but I hadn't talked to him in a few days.
I get on it fairly regular. They just come out with a new talk group, Talk Group 98, and it's a channel just for radio checks and people just wanting to, you know, check the radios and talk to somebody, get a little feedback, and it's a pretty busy channel. And then you got that worldwide channel. It stays so busy, if you get connected, it's hard to disconnect. It stays so busy, but yeah, I've enjoyed the DMR. Like I said, I've talked to people all over the world, and yeah, Patrick got his up and going, and seems to be going pretty good. I shared some code plug information with him and different things, and all of us, we try to help each other out. That's what we do, I reckon.
Yeah, it appears to be a lot more complicated than D-Star. I've enjoyed running D-Star. There are a couple of floating reflectors that are pretty busy. They've got, you can see who's on them on the website. They're just literally hundreds and hundreds of people monitoring, but, you know, not many of them, you know, a lot of them don't talk on it, don't Reflector 30, which I think is out of Georgia, and then Reflector 1, I think is in London. That's still pretty busy, but Reflector 30, it gets real busy after midnight. You start getting on over in the wee hours of morning, because people start getting up in other parts of the world and getting over there. And I'm not that interested to get up after go to bed to talk to somebody on D-Star. But the DMR, there's so many more people on DMR. There's just, you know, so many more radios. I can see where it'd be difficult to get once you get into the talk group, get back off of it again, or even get to talk on it. But there's just literally thousands of talk groups, from what I understand.
There's a lot of them. I bought what they call the Supercode plug from Bridgecom, and it's every state in the United States, every continent, and then every sub-region, and then there's just a talk group for anything you can think of. I mean, there's thousands of talk groups, and I bought that Supercode plug, and all you have to do then is run it in Excel and put in whatever frequency you're going to transmit onto your hotspot, and you're pretty much ready to go. And the software, that PiStar software, like I said, you can see who's on and look at Brandmaster website. You can see how many people's monitoring and transmitting at one time. There's literally thousands at the same time talking on different groups. It's quite amazing, to tell you the truth.
What people say about it, it's brought a lot of people into amateur radio, and that's good. Because once you get on that, and of course with HF frequencies being, you know, HF bands being pretty dead, well, not totally dead, but not being very active, especially this time of the year. I think 6 meters, it was open, wide open yesterday, but there was a tropo opening, I think, on 6 yesterday this morning, early this morning, but a lot of other stuff, it's just not like going on right now. It won't be much probably until later on this fall. The noise level is pretty high right now until you get on over at night. That gets people started out in, and then they'll maybe move on to something else and get interested in other things. But DMR, love it or hate it, just brought a lot of people in.
I hadn't looked in the last week or so, but it was about 197,000 registered users on DMR last time I downloaded the database onto my radio. The one I have will hold 200,000 contacts, and the new Antone 878 Plus number 2 version will hold 500,000 contacts like the mobile will. So I've got the Antone 578 base that I use in the house, and there's a lot of people in it and drawing a lot of people in for the first time, and like I said, hopefully they'll move on to, you know, HF, VHF, or HF, just get into the hobby and enjoy it.
Other than getting the cold plugs straightened out, getting everything programmed, that seems to be the major obstacle for DMR, at least it was. I'm sure, you know, you get people to do that for you now, but in the beginning it was kind of tough finding people to program some of the radios. But now it seems like it's a lot easier. And I think you got better radios now too. That hurt me. I was talking to the guy, I talked to him on D-Star yesterday evening, and he had just got one of those 878s. He said, "This is a good radio." He said, "It's a whole lot better than what they bought, you know, 4 years ago or so." He said, "It's got a lot of stuff on it, and it's got good audio as well."
It's a good little radio. I really, really enjoy it. And, I mean, that's what I'm talking on right now. And, I just got it hooked to a little Slim Jim antenna. I got it hung on the carport, so it's only about 7 foot in the air, and it does a good job. I can't complain about it at all.
Right, you got a tiny little bit of white noise. I'm running my cables right in my D74 right now on 5 watts. But I got mine hooked up to a little small beam upstairs inside the house. But I think your sounds good. The audio sounds really good. And it's getting into the repeater really well to be on a Slim Jim. Those Slim Jims are pretty handy. And so those things, I can't remember who, I think the guy, N9TX, I think his, the ones I've seen that he makes are really nice ones. He can use either, you know, what looks like twin lead TV line, or he uses ladder line on some of them too. I think those things would be pretty well put together. I've got a 440 one that I made myself years ago, but it's not, it doesn't have, you just don't get out very much, you don't get out very far on a, not unless you get up pretty high on a 440 Slim Jim.
The little Slim Jim, like I said, it's made out of what looks like antenna wire, and it's connected up to the antenna plug, and the guy I got it from is the guy who actually invented it. He's out of California, and he's a professor at, I want to say, one of the University of California schools. I thought I had it on a piece of paper here, but he does a lot of videos on them, and he invented this antenna back in the 90s, and he still makes them and sells them there. You can buy them. I bought this one. It was like $40, and it comes with a PVC cap. You can put it inside a piece of PVC, and we'll schedule 20 PVC about 4 foot long, and it makes a good antenna, no doubt.
That's been made me 2 or 3 years ago. He, of course, he's an electrical engineer. He knew what all it is just a J-pole, basically like a collinear, but they're not hard to make it all yourself, as long as you got a little piece of solder, a little bit, you got some heat shrink tubing. The key to making them work right, though, is not, the two ends where the twin lead ends in the thing. You don't need to cover that twin lead up. You just need to leave it open. I think when you cover it up, it affects the velocity of the signal, and it changes them a little bit. They want you just to leave them open and punch a little hole in the separation between the twin lead, the TV lead there, and just hang them that way. And I've seen them in PVC pipes before. People have used them outside. I think they do a little better if they're not, if they're not like that. And the ladder line works even better, but it's just bulky and stiff, and it's hard to, it's more of one if you want to leave one up outside for a while. That'd be probably what I'd do, seal it up. But the ladder line is I think it's 450 ohms. I think it does a little better. Of course, a lot of these ladder lines is feeds for dipoles, regular HF dipoles. They got a long history using ladder line and twin leads for stuff. But the one I've got, I just used it when I used to travel. It made it for me when I was carrying a 440 rig with me when I was traveling in Texas. Mostly, there were so many 440 repeaters there, you didn't need much of an antenna. I'd hang it up in my hotel room and use it for about a half a watt.
I found it here. It's the guy who makes this particular one I got. His name is Ed Fong, F-O-N-G. And if you Google him, like I said, he's got all kind of YouTube videos on antennas and the theory behind them and how they work, and he makes them and sells them to support his ham club he does for students at the university he works at. And I've ordered two of them, and both of them he wrote a personal note on them, and told me to be sure and use the Schedule 20 PVC pipe, and give him the part number for Lowe's for it. I mean, he's pretty knowledgeable guy, and antenna works great.
I met him years ago when he was promoting that thing. He was at the he was at one of the Atlanta Ham Fest doing a talk on it, and Don Roy's husband knows him too. All those engineers seem to know each other over a period of time. But yeah, I met him. Now, I've seen some of his stuff, and it's been so long ago since I even thought about one. I just happened to unroll this one, the 440 was the other day, and remember, and I thought, you know, I might not try one of those. That might work out pretty well. It needs to be out in the, I think it works better in the open if you can hang it up out in the open rather than have it up against the wall. But I know a lot of people that they'll put them in a window, hang them against the wall or in a closet or even in an attic somewhere, as long as you don't have anything keep you from, anything blocking the radiation. A lot of these windows that have UV protection, they have metallic material in the windows, and that keeps a lot of the antennas from being able to get out very well at all.
This one, I got it hanging on a plant hanger on the carport in between two of the columns on the carport, and I can get this repeater. I can get Livonia, Carnesville, Elberton, just about anything around here, you know, that I can reach with the 5 watts. And then the radio has a turbo mode for 7 watts if you need just a little extra kick. But everybody I talk to says it sounds good in a repeater, you know, to be a handheld, and so it's well worth the investment for me. And I've got my base on one, actually the same antenna, because it does 2 meter and 70, and I got it about 38 feet in the air, and it does an outstanding job on my base rig.
2 meter one again. I don't really need a 440 one, I don't think, but I'll try. I may try one of Ed's. Ed's is better than the N90X ones. I think his work a little better. Same thing. He knows what he's doing too. He's done all the antenna. He's done all the preliminary design work. He actually did it before the 90s, I think. But he started selling them then. I do remember him well, because it was a lot of people just translated and started doing J-poles and the full size J-poles, which worked good. But the collinears, Ringo Ranger, they worked well too. Some of these collinears are really good built, but they're 20, some of them are 25 feet long. And getting them up high enough makes a big difference too. If you got anything up 38 feet, it's going to do really well.
WHMID. Yeah, the one I got up in the air, it does a great job. And I can pick up some of the Athens repeaters on my base, and the height definitely makes a difference.
To the house where we lived in here in Anderson, I was right on top of the hill. I was above the water towers. I could look out over the city. I was out. Out of the new subdivision, I was sitting right on top of the hill almost. You could look out across the city. I was sitting up higher in the water tower, and I could carry on a good conversation on the Anderson repeater with a half a watt, real easy. You could hit Greenville and hit Mount Mitchell on 19 with a watt and a half pretty easily. But now I'm down in a hole. I'm probably about 150 feet lower than what I was before, plus I got every tree in the world ran on both sides of me. It made it really hard to get it. I put it on the roof, it wouldn't make much difference. I don't think I'd have to get it up at least 40 or 50 feet. And I'm just not, I don't want to put up anything that tall. I just make do with what I got. So I'd definitely try one of those J-poles again. That is a good idea. Like I said, the 440 one didn't work too good, but it's just, I've only got it on about 5 feet of RG-58.
Copper J-pole and a, trying to think of the name of the other antenna. The J-pole I only have about 10 feet in the air. I got it on a T-post and just a short piece of coax. I run it to an old Yeezy radio I got as sort of my backup. And then I got another one that's up about 25 feet on the same pole. I got my main one on. I got it just at the ridge line of the house, and it's 9 years old, but it still works great, and can't complain about it. It's just it's all aluminum and got three little vertical beams of different heights for the 2 meter and 70 meter. But it works well.
It makes his air antennas. He made a J-pole very similar to that. It's all aluminum with either two or three elements on it like that. And it's just got a flat piece of metal, a flat piece of aluminum. It's got aluminum elements. It's got one for two. And it's got and one of them he makes has got, I think the one he makes does have three on it, three elements. It sounds, they're all similar, I guess, but He builds pretty good antennas, not terribly expensive either. He uses all aluminum in his, so they don't rust, and they seal up pretty well too.
The only thing I've had to do is replace the coax, going to it, and I did that just this spring, and that's when I bought that first one from Ed and put it up on top of the mast I got, and I was really surprised at how well it works. This one that I'm talking on now, I carry it when I go camping, and I'll throw a string up in a tree and pull it up, 15-20 feet, and I can usually get to a repeater somewhere nearby. I always look them up before I go and get them programmed in and see who I can talk to, just to be on the radio.
Enjoy that when we go out somewhere, just carry the radio with me. Most of them, I just use one of those. AEA used to make they call it a hot rod, which is a telescoping 2 meter antenna that had a BNC connector for a handheld. That thing was about 50 something inches long, like Broderick Crawford out of Highway Patrol. It had a little spring on it too to give it a little give. But man, that thing, that was a great antenna. I think MFJ makes one similar to that now, but that AEA was a great little antenna. And you just had to be careful with it, because it would, put a lot of stress on the BNC. You won't have it sitting on there flopping around with anything like that, but it's a great little antenna. But I better get on that. I need to go downstairs and see what Lynn's up to. She might be into something for all I know. But tell Jan and Gail and everybody we said hello, and I hope y'all have a good evening. Good talking to you again, as usual. And I'll talk to you later on. Maybe I'll get back on here tomorrow. I've been having trouble with my back, and I just haven't been able to get up move around a little bit better than I was the last couple of days. Get upstairs so I can get up and get a little elevation and get on the radio. 73 to you, Bill. Have a good evening, and talk to you later. Inform DJC clear if you
friend, and I'll always got the radio on, so if you get it on tomorrow, just give me a holler, or if I hear you, I'll try to get in there and we'll go from there. But until then, be safe, and I'll tell everybody you said hello and do the same. 73's M4WHM clear.
KO4 HDX. Jerry, just wanted to say hello. How you doing, Bill?
Good to hear you, young man. Hope you're doing well. I'm doing a lot better. I'm mobile again now. Appreciate you. Thank you for having me, Dave. Talk to you guys later, M4DJC.
Everything going well for you?
Today you just got a little something. Cut the vehicle off.
you. Glad you made it home safely.
Guys called out a little while ago, but I was in the middle of a black hole of Henderson County. And then right as I was coming out the other side of it, my wife called.
Hope you had a good day, and hopefully you won't have too much work to do this evening, so, but I'll let you get out and get on in the house. So, 73's Patrick. This is N4WHM. I'll be standing by.
N4WHM, this is KO4NUE, over. Bill, what's going on with you today, bud?
I'm not on the call for work. Just took the dog out, let her run for a few minutes, and talking on the radio. How about you?
Just listening in, but I've already discussed this with him. But I am collecting a collection of names that people have mispronounced the COVID-19 virus. And I'm wondering if you've got any names that you can contribute. So I'm going to let this repeater cycle, and then I'll list what I've got so far. And I'm just kind of going around from ham to ham to see if I can add anything to my list. So I'll let it cycle and come right back. KO4NUE station ID. First name is Kolick. COVID-19. COVID-21, COVID-19, Cervix-21, Corora, Corona Heavy Variant 23, Corova, Nova, Covola, Covlica, Colid, and Corona as in the beer. You got anything to contribute?
You've got a pretty comprehensive list. Corona the beer is probably my favorite of all of them that I've heard over the last year. And, of course, then, you know, you got the Wuhan virus and China virus and all those, but as far as mispronouncing, I think you pretty much got it covered.
Didn't have, so I'll add the China virus and the Wuhan virus to it, and I'll continue on with my list.
The other ham that has a radio just like yours that you were going to see last Monday. How'd that trip go?
It went good. He's a pretty good guy. He taught me a lot, showed me a lot, and just made things look real easy. And, you know, I'm sitting down here struggling. And he just, you know, well, oh, yeah, it's easy. You just push this button or you do this or you do that. And, you know, he was pretty skilled, and I got to learn a lot. I'm still digesting everything that he's taught me to try to do. But I can't do a whole lot of it till I upgrade my license. So I'm scheduled on the 14th to go get my general ticket. And then, you know, I'm gonna try to go a step further with it. But I think I've made the decision that I'm gonna try some voice HF contacts, but I'm pretty much made my mind up. I'm gonna do some CW. I don't know what it is about Morse code. It just absolutely fascinates me for some reason.
Well, I appreciate those interesting comments there, and haven't had as good a student in quite a while. KN4WWA. Hey guys.
WA. This is KO4NUE and N4WHM, Bill, and I think he's near Hartwell, or the town of Hartwell. Is that right, Bill?
About 50 yards outside the city limits of Hartwell on the north side, so south side. Just sitting out here enjoying it. And Steve, good to hear you in there.
Man, I tell you what, I've been busier than a one-armed man in a paper hanging contest.
You got any names you can contribute to my mispronounced coronavirus names?
Big Pharma, Corona, government-sponsored crap that's out there right now?
Me and my wife have been making jokes for the past... Don't get me wrong now, I'm not making jokes about coronavirus. But we've just had a hard time with it. We've lost three family members, and it's just been a real struggle for us. But I guess in just some kind of sick way, just trying to stab back at it the best way we can. And I have been collecting names of how the coronavirus has been mispronounced. And I've got some pretty good names, and I'm just going around from ham to ham to see if I can get any more names added to the list. Bill was able to add two, so I was wondering if you got any to add. If you're interested in hearing the names that I've got, let me know, and I'll pass them along to you. Some of them's pretty funny.
Yeah, give me a couple of them.
Here's what I got so far. Colic, COVID, COVID-19, COVID-21, COVIX, COVIX-19, Cervix-21, Corora, Corona Heavy Variant 23, Corova, Nova, Cavola, Covlica, Colid, Corona as in the beer, China Virus, and the Wuhan.
I've heard just about every one of those variants, brother. Oh, me. Except when it started out, everybody thought they were talking about the beer. But anyhow, I tell you what, it's been tough. I've lost a couple of two or three friends from it. And, you know, for those that have gone on with it, it's just they should not have had to have gone. And this whole thing stinks. And you guys have seen the picture of Obama and Fauci out in front of the Wuhan lab, haven't you?
Your mic gain's just a little high, bud. It's hard for me to make out that last sentence. Can you help me out with that just a little bit and say again?
Yeah, you guys did see the picture of Obama and Fauci in front of the Wuhan lab, didn't you?
Not yet, but I'll check it out.
Thing just stinks, I tell you. But anyhow, neither here nor there. In the meantime, probably gonna have to wait till you get back. How long you gonna be gone, boy?
I'll be back probably Sunday.
Sunday?
Yeah, we're going up on Friday, and then we'll come back Sunday.
Like what me and my wife did last week. We left on Thursday and come back on Saturday evening, and it was nice. We did that little trail down the Blue Ridge Parkway from up above Little Switzerland all the way back down to the Pisgah Inn in Brevard.
And on you, your wife was doing some bird watching, and you were talking on radio, and long as you let her watch her birds, she let you talk on the radio. Is that about right?
Yeah, yep. And be careful what you say. You get me in trouble because she's sitting right here in the seat next to me. We're going out to get a little supper. You don't want to see any bruises on me the next time we meet up.
I don't know, man. Yeah, you might look better with some bruises.
Might be right. Well, I think we found a place where we gonna eat down here, so I'm gonna bug out on you. 73's, bud, and we'll talk again right after you get back, okay? K and 4VWA, y'all carry on.
You still there, Bill? If you are, I just didn't want to cut you off, but I'm sorry about that. But okay, well, listen, if you run across any strange names, hey, get in contact with me. and let me add them to the list so I can put it in my logbook for whatever strange reason I'm collecting these names. But just let me know.
What I did here was like the tractor, the Kubota virus.
Kubota?
I'm clear, y'all. Have fun.
You and your wife have a good dinner. Good evening. Good talk to you. And yeah, I'm still hanging around, Chad.
Hot enough down there for you?
The weather station is still 87 degrees, so it's still right warm. It was 91 in Athens today, so I got out for a few minutes walking around campus, and it was hot, no doubt.
So today I had my first real meeting at my radio club today. And, man, I just, you know, you couldn't ask for a better group of people. I mean, just so nice, so polite, so helpful, and just really enjoyed being in their company and listening to what they had to say. And just, you know, that was the right thing to do, to join a nearby club, and just all in all was a really good day.
I'll be honest with you, in almost 9 years, or 8.5 years, I hadn't met a ham operator that was not genuine, polite, and helpful. Everybody I've run across has been a true gentleman or a true lady, that's for sure.
I can't really say that, and I haven't been doing this very long, and maybe some of it was, you know, me not understanding total etiquette or anything, but I haven't really had a run-in, but just not a real good experience on the radio last week, and I mean, there was no exchange to it. It just kind of took me aback a little bit, and I still don't quite know what to think about it, but, you know, I just steer clear of that area and just don't have any contact, because I don't know what to make of it, really.
Well, I hear that. Like I said, I've been blessed to not have any run-ins or any issues at all. So I hate to hear that, but you know, there's always a certain percentage in any kind of group that is not going to be the best of the best, and you can't help that. So. But all you can do is carry on, and the friends you make and the ones you contact that are nice and polite and helpful, you just keep talking to them and you ignore the others.
Well, there were no hard feelings or anything. I just kind of strange behavior, and, you know, just decided, hey, best thing I can do is just, you know, go talk to somebody else. So that's what I've been doing, and you know, like you said, everybody I've talked with just been super helpful and super polite, and I'm just really enjoying the hobby. And today at the club, we had one of our members. He talked a little bit about EchoLink, and I kind of enjoyed, you know, listening to what he had to say and how EchoLink works and all that. And then I guess probably 10 minutes into his conversation, DMR came up, and you were the first person I thought of when the DMR portion of it came up, and we talked about that for a little bit as well. But all in all, really good day and really good people. So I was glad to be a part of that team.
As long as you enjoy it and can do things, and like I said, having that local club is important. You can help with events or field days or anything going on. The Athens Radio Club over by the university, they do a lot of events, and I'm already starting to volunteer with them, and I joined their club back in the spring, and we hadn't had a face-to-face meeting yet, but it's, I think, probably August is when they're looking at having a face-to-face meeting, so I'm looking forward to that, because I've met a good many of them, but there's a lot of people I'd love to put a face to a name and call sign.
It meets in the American Legion post right here in town. And I went last month for just to check things out, and the commander for the American Legion was there, so I talked with him for a little bit. So I just joined both clubs, man. I just joined the American Legion right there, and then joined the radio club too. So I hadn't gone to my first American Legion meeting yet, but I'm looking forward to that as well. And they have bingo on Friday nights, and I don't think I've ever played bingo, but I'm gonna go give it a shot, man. I mean, you know, I got some prizes and this, that, and the other. So I guess when I got out of the military, I just lost the fellowship portion of that, and there's a lot of fellowship being in the military, and I can see the potential for some real good fellowship revolved around the ham radio. So I think this is going to be really good for me, and I'm real excited.
Yeah, I'm a member of the American Legion here in Hartwell, Post 109, and been in for quite a few years. I enjoy it. There's a lot of people I know and that I knew before I joined the Legion, and just didn't realize some of them were older vets, and they have some great stories to tell, and they love to tell them, and I love to listen. So it was a win-win all the way around, and same thing with ham radio. I enjoy listening to the information and conversations, and just enjoy the fellowship.
Roger that. Well, Bill, I'm gonna head on, man. I'm gonna head up to the house and see what the old lady's got for dinner. And or maybe it's my turn to cook tonight. I can't remember. But anyway, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I enjoy hearing your voice over the air. And just going to let you know, hey, be safe, try to stay cool. This is KO4NUE, Chad, out of Camp Bella, 973, on your final, sir.
Freeze, my friend. Be safe, and enjoy yourself. Don't eat too much dinner. I'll probably be back on about time for the Blue Ridge net, so at 9. So I'm going to call it clear for now. This is M4WHM, 73s.
For CBA Mobile. JW.
JP4CBA.
Steve in there, did you hear?
It could have been where I was sitting, though, because I was kind of sitting in a bad spot here on Statewood. There, JN4VWA.
The backside of the mic, because his audio was really low.
Oh, well. So how you doing?
home from picking up some supper. Another day, another dollar. I'm ready to retire, man. This working stuff is old. My patience with work is getting less and less every day that goes by.